Welcome to the Top 5 Podcast with your hosts, Rail Bricker and Lindsay Adams.
Welcome back. Our special guest today is Christine Denny. And Christine Denny hails from a city which I love, Brisbane, Australia. That's where I live. So Christine lives on the other side of town from me, and I met her recently and I was really impressed and just had to get her on the show. So let me tell you a little bit about Christine and her background. She's the creator, CEO and director of Tap Attack Oz, the elite tap dance syllabus and mentorship program for teachers and students that launched in Australia in 2008. In association with that, Christine has worked as an adjudicator all over Australia, judging dance competitions. In 2022, she wrote her first children's book, Great Job Nature, with the intention of bringing children back to a connection with nature and encouraging them to see, hear, love, acknowledge, and feel gratitude for the world around them. Christine, my grandson loves your book. Thank you. Christine is writing a regular column titled The Joymaker for Australia's premier online dance magazine, Dance Life. Now, her current passion is the project called The Joymaker. She works with schools, community groups, and the corporate world to provide an experience that leads to an enhanced sense of joy for the participants. It's experiential and interactive in nature. The Joymaker is a wonderfully fun and unique event that capitalizes on her extensive experience as a mentor, writer, communicator, rhythm maker, and teacher. So today we're here to talk about the top 5 tips for cultivating joy in your life and harnessing the power it brings. Christine, welcome.
Hello, how are you?
Oh, fantastic. So excited to have you here. So let's get going. We've got 5 tips. Tip number one, what have you got for us?
Okay, tip number one I call knowing your narratives. And that's because I always say to people, the reason I'm doing the Joymaker is not because I'm always joyful. It's because in my life I can sometimes be quite irritable and not joyful, a bit of a misery maker. And so I have great tips on how to not exist like that in the world because I've experienced them all. And knowing your narratives is really important because oftentimes something that happened in your childhood, like it could be a little comment that a parent made or a teacher or another child, some little thing that triggers you. And so then you're going through your life and you don't realize you're reacting to things because of something that happened ages ago. So for me, I discovered 2 major narratives in my life. When I went to see a counsellor years and years ago, I was about 32, and I thought I was there because I was upset I'd split up with my boyfriend. But what I discovered during the session was that I had deep survivor guilt because my little brother had died when he was 3 years old and I was 5 years old. And he was the only boy in our family. And so that left me feeling like I'd let the family down by living. Because if I died and he'd lived, you know, my parents would have had boy and girl children. And so that really went through me in my whole life. I was very defensive and always felt I was coming from a position as I have to defend just the very right to be alive on the planet because I destroyed my family by being a girl and not dying instead of my little brother. So you can imagine how powerful that discovery was. And the other one was that when I was little, my mother had a dancing school and I learnt ballet and I wanted to be a ballerina, but I was a little chubby, fat sort of child with little turned-in feet. So I was never going to be a ballerina, but I loved it and I tried so hard. And one day during a visiting workshop, there were my mother downstairs with the visiting dance teacher and they were discussing the machinations of the day. And the visiting teacher said to my mother, "Oh, poor little Chrissy, she tries so hard but she'll never be any good." Yeah, I was upstairs as a little 7 or 8-year-old listening to this. And when I discovered this, I realized it was informing my entire life. I never tried in sport at school. There were a lot of things. I just had a very predisposition, if you like, to I'm not going to try, I'm not going to be good enough, I'll never make it. You know, I can't cook. I've always been, you know, I can't cook, I can't do this, I can't do that. So it's not that hard to realize what your narratives are, because when you, if you just stop and when you react to something, just think, why am I really reacting, and often it's nothing to do with the current situation you're in, but it can be a little narrative that has sown a seed in your brain and has grown a lot of weeds in your psyche, if you like, which are ruining the garden of your little life. So once you dig them out, you can be aware of them, and that awareness is a really strong pathway to cultivating greater joy in life.
Okay, so let me ask you a question. Does everyone have these narratives?
I can't answer for everybody. I can only bring my life experience to the fore, but I would say my experience of life and when I'm running my Joymaker workshops with people is that, yes, everybody does. Yeah, and it's amazing the little things. You know, one lady said to me after a workshop once, when I married my husband, he told me that he would never be able to say, I love you. This was a 70, 75-year-old woman. He told me he'd never be able to say, I love you, because of something that had happened to him. I think he'd been a prisoner of war or something, or he'd had some very traumatic experience. And she said, but I've realized in this workshop that I've always had a huge hole in my heart, even though I told him I understood that he would never be able to say I love you. It has made me, I've had a real hole in my heart for my life. So some of the stories people share are really powerful. And I think people just need time to stop and think about their life and who they are and how they exist in the world. And that's why I call my day retreats a gift of time, because people just are rushing around, you know, we're running from one thing to the other, and we just don't have time to stop and think what's affecting us, what we might need to just deal with and put in the past to move forward in a productive, happy way.
Fantastic. I mean, yeah, I think it's fantastic, and let me paraphrase that. I think it's fantastic that you've narrowed it down to saying, go and, you know, work out what's happened, what's your narrative, because I think a lot of people tend to skip over that. So moving on from that, your tip number two for cultivating joy in your life and harnessing the power it brings.
Tip number two is super important, and I'm seeing a move towards this in a lot of different spaces, especially in corporate, and that is knowing what your values are. So I spoke to a dance teacher's summit yesterday about mindset and knowing your values so you can attract the right clients into your life. But this goes for every part of your life. You need to know what your fundamental foundational values or guiding stones are so that then you can attract to you in business, your friendships, in everything you do, people who are mirroring the same values, because nothing will make you sad, irritated, and annoyed more quickly than being around people, places, things that do not mirror your values. So my values are integrity, honesty, individuality, creativity, and human connection. So human connectivity at the moment would be my most powerful value, and everything I do is based around human connection, connecting people back to themselves, connecting them to other people. Yeah, that's really important to me. So everything I do reflects that, and that puts me in a joyful space. So I don't align with people who are very invested in AI, for instance, or replacing human beings with technology, because I have a very strong connection to creativity and individuality. And so whilst I understand we're using technology for this Zoom, of course, I also want to spend a lot of my time doing in-person things and encouraging an individual expression of self, because that's one of my highest values.
So, Christine, do your values change over time?
I think most of our values are inherently set within us from a very young age. But I do think how you explore those values may change over time. So for instance, with me, my thing with human connection, creativity, and individuality, they're the fundamental underpinnings of who I am, and honesty and integrity. And that played out in my younger life with the Tapitac Oz syllabus that I created, because all of those things were fundamental for the teachers and the students to get the most out of that syllabus program. And now those same values are underpinning everything I'm doing with the Joymaker experience. So I think the values often stay the same, but how you express them may change over time.
Okay, there's a gap missing in my brain here at the moment, and that sounds terrible, but yeah. But you've gone from a seven-year-old overhearing someone telling your mother that you'll never make it as a dancer to Tap Attack, where you've written syllabuses for tap dancing. What happened in those? And our listeners, obviously, we don't use the video, but I can see you. So it's only been about 20 years in that intervening period. What happened in that intervening period to take you from, I can't dance to I can teach tap?
Well, the comment that was made was about classical ballet, and I would never have been a classical ballet dancer, but I was always good at tap dancing. But after I sort of realized this is what was going on in my mind, I became a lot more, I was always good at tap dancing. So I became a lot more confident. And I actually, after I overheard the comment, poor little Chrissy, she tries so hard, she'll never be any good. I actively set about changing that mindset. I chose that was not going to be my reality. And so I put little post-it notes all over my house that said, Christine is very capable and confident. Amazing little Christine can do anything she wants. And I had them stuck everywhere, so that was the thought that I was thinking. And I used to say it in my head when I went to bed at night, I'm capable, I'm strong, I'm confident. Little Christine can be anything she wants to be. Little Christine can do anything she wants to do. And I just had an awareness that when those thoughts came into my mind that they weren't true. I mean, at this time, I had already been teaching tap dancing and was quite well known when I made this discovery of these narratives. But I just then had the confidence to go forward and then, write a syllabus and put it out into the world.
I love it.
It's been a long path.
I love it. So, all right, then lead us on to tip number three.
Tip number three is investing in self-care. So I think a lot of people now, I know there's a lot of depression and anxiety with men in the world, and I think that's probably driven by this, you've got to have the best house, the best car, you've got to provide, you've got to do this, you've got to do that. They're running on a wheel. And then women, they're the same. They're running on a wheel. They're looking after the family, or they're trying to balance work and motherhood, or they're just running a business. Whatever people are doing, they just feel overwhelmed, and we're missing the very important piece of the puzzle, which is self-care, which is just, when you get on an airplane and they say, if we're going to crash, put your mask on first. It's the same principle. You cannot care for anyone else in your life. You cannot care for your business if you don't care for yourself first. And so I think we need to prioritize that self-care. And it can be simple things like knowing when you're getting overwhelmed to just stop. And one of the techniques I heard in another workshop that somebody offered to me as advice was to imagine that you're standing in a snow globe and you shake the snow globe up and all the little snowflakes are going everywhere. And when you feel overwhelmed, just stand in your own snow globe and wait for all the snowflakes and the overwhelm to settle at the bottom and just visualize that. And then just think, okay, now I'll just do the next thing. And I gave advice to a dance teacher yesterday that I think we all need to understand that we're now dealing in a world where there is so much AI and technology, but we're still responding to it as human beings. We only have so much that you can do in a day. I mean, I've got a list of 35 things, important things, apparently, on my list, and I haven't started one of them in the past 4 days because every morning other things come up. And I could decide I'm going to get anxious and whatever, but I just think I just do what I can every day. So self-care might be going for a walk in nature every morning. It might be making sure to get on the phone once a week to a friend who you know really is supportive and encourages you and makes you feel good about yourself. Eating foods that you like and make you feel good. positive affirmations and positive mindset, creating a joyous energy in your being and every day. So if you feel negative, have something that can turn you around. So a good one actually for self-care, I call it the playlist of life. So, you know, on your phone or wherever, you can create a playlist. Create a playlist of music that instantly changes your mood. So if you're feeling really down, okay, I'm going to play this song. So I play Metallica, Enter the Sandman. That always makes me feel really cheerful. So I put that on if I want to be energized. And then if I want to be meditative, I've got other music that I play. So just having a lot of things in your self-care that can guarantee you're in a joyful space, even if you're in a stressful situation.
Fantastic. So, you know, in terms of looking after ourselves and investing in our own self-care, we have to move on so that our listeners get their, you know, the normal length of their episode. So,
yes.
Christine, hit us up. Tip number four for cultivating joy in your life and harnessing the power it brings.
Okay, I'll be quick with this one. This one is surrounding yourself with supportive people. And that's a challenging one because especially if you're moving, if you've got a new focus in life you're moving to a new thing, often people around you may not be supportive, whether they're friends, family, community groups or social groups. And, you know, you don't want to necessarily, you know, throw the baby out with the bathwater, but you do want to spend more time with people who are supportive and encouraging. I mean, it's always good to have people who point out what could go wrong in a project. But if people are constantly criticizing you and every time you ring them up or you're around them, they're being negative and not being supportive, it doesn't do your mental health any good at all. So surround yourself with friends, family, community groups, who really support you as a person and value the way you exist in the world.
Yeah, I'm a big believer in that one, Christine. Couldn't agree more. All right, let's wrap it up. Final tip, tip number five. What have you got for us?
Tip number five is investing wholeheartedly in forgiveness. And this is forgiveness of yourself and forgiveness of the people around you. I think we live in a world people are too quick to throw stones, throw sticks and point fingers. None of us is perfect. I certainly am not. I'm a very temperamental, reactive sort of person. So I have perfected the art of saying I'm sorry. So I think it's really important that if you're doing something in the world and you think, oh, that wasn't very kind or I could have spoken to that person in a better way, don't be afraid to go out and just say, look, I'm really sorry. I didn't mean to speak to you like that. Also, forgive the people around you. They might have been under pressure. They might have, you don't know what's going on for other people. So if it's something really horrendous that has happened to you, of course, you're never going to forget that. But forgiveness allows you to move on and not carry that hatred or nastiness or anything that you might feel towards someone. You're only hurting yourself carrying that around, I find. So just forgive and move on. And most importantly, forgive yourself because most of us have done the best we can in any situation with the knowledge we had at that particular time. So there's a lot of things I think I could have done better in my life, but I've just had to forgive myself and think I did the best I could with what I had and now learn my lessons and move on.
So how I'm curious about this. It's easy to say you should forgive someone, but in reality, how do you do that? Is it just simply a mental exercise? Do you ring them up and say, I forgive you? How does that work?
Well, I think like everything in life, it's a choice and you just have to choose, just stubbornly choose, I'm going to forgive that person. And what I do is I mentally vision that person and then I just close my eyes and I send to them, you know, I'm really sorry that you felt that way. I'm so sorry that this happened. I forgive you. You probably, you know, had things going on that made you feel that way. We're all, you know, I'm not perfect. You're not perfect. I forgive you in my heart and I'm going to let that go and move on. That's it.
I guess that's the key, isn't it? None of us are perfect. I mean, we all try and none of us are perfect.
I mean, if they're really serious things, you know, really like physical abuse or, you know, something really bad, then of course that's going to be a lot harder. But carrying it within, as many people who have suffered those sort of traumas, I've heard them speak or they've written books, they all say that forgiveness, and I trust their experience as people who've gone through. I'm lucky I haven't gone through a really horrendous traumatic event, but I've read a lot of other people, you know, what they've said. So, yeah.
Okay, so let me ask you a question then. Are you you know, is this a little bit like in the 12 steps of AA where you have to physically go out and confront people and forgive them? Or is this just forgiving yourself and convincing yourself that you've moved on?
I think it would depend on how people want to approach things. But for me, I don't necessarily go up to the person and say I forgive them. Although I'm somebody, I'm not someone who's ever experienced feelings of hatred or vindictiveness. I have a lot of faults in my life, but I've just never experienced those sort of feelings. So I've never intentionally done anything ever to hurt someone. Although I'm sure I have hurt a lot of people in my life with, I can be quite abrupt. So I know being abrupt or being too honest and frank sometimes, and that can be hurtful. So I know how to say sorry if I'm rude and abrupt, but in terms of forgiveness, people who've done things that I've found hurtful, I just forgive them from my own heart. And I find that sort of clears my own energy field and off I go. Because if other people want to carry negative emotions and thoughts towards you or a situation, let them carry it is my advice, and just move on. Don't carry it. Because isn't there a saying about if you hold your hand in a fire to prove that it burns, the only person's hand you're burning is your own?
I love that. That's so true, isn't it?
Yeah.
Christine, it's been a really interesting discussion, and sadly our time is up. Should our listeners want to get in touch with you and find out more about the Joy Project and maybe explore creating more joy in their life, what's the best way for them to do that?
You can contact me simply with an email address, which is info@christinedenny.com, and that's christinedenny.com. I'm on LinkedIn as Christine Denny, and the Joymaker Experience page is on LinkedIn, and I'm also on Instagram as Christine_Denny_author and on Facebook as myself.
Fantastic, Christine. Thank you very much for joining us this morning from Brisbane, Australia. Thank you to my co-host, Lindsay Adams, also from Brisbane, Australia. This is Rael Bricker from Perth, Western Australia, signing off for another edition of the Top 5 Podcast.